Welcome to the house of the Lord on this very special day. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all. Thank you so very much, Sister Lindsay. We've been looking at the Word of God during these special meetings. And exploring different things that we need to pay attention to. And as we go through the Word of the Lord, I believe that as we are deepened in our understanding, we are also being rooted and grounded in His love. As we're rooted and grounded in His love, our faith will be much more efficient and effective. For faith worketh by love. Amen? And as we pursue the heart of God, let us not lose sight of the fact that God made a covenant with Abraham. And in making that covenant, he also gave a time period. I wish he had said in 40 days or even 40 years, but he says 400 years. You know, it is true. A prophet, when a prophet prophesies what he says will happen, shall happen, that's one of the signs that you're a prophet. And here he is a prophet. And there's no way he was going to live that long to prove that what he said was going to come to pass. Man may pass away, but the word of God spoken lives on. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Man may pass away, but the word of God lives on. It never dies. And the promise God has made to you, made to me, it's not just a promise, it's a covenant statement. Let me say that again. God's promises are not just promises, they are covenant statements, covenant declarations. I covenant with you. In essence, I tell you my truth. The only truth, the only person who can say my truth is God. Hallelujah. When God says my truth, that means everything. Because God can call this green chair white, and he says that's my truth. And as soon as he says this green chair is white, it becomes white. There is no debate about it. What God says is what God means. And it cannot be separated from his integrity. Now we can slow down God's timing if we want to, but we cannot slow down the manifestation. Or rather, let me put it this way, we cannot stop the manifestation of what God said. God will find a way to make what he said come to pass. That is integrity. So God said to Abraham, This land is your land. This land is your land. I brought you from Ur of the Chaldees to bring you to this place, to give it to you. It's yours. But God, what is good? What good is all of this if I don't have somebody to inherit it? The only one I have is Eliezer. And God says, no, not Eliezer. One that comes from you is going to possess this land. Bring me these animals and these birds. So God asked very specifically for what he wanted. I do take note of those times when God asks for something, because he has something on his mind. He's cooking something. So the man of God, Abraham, brought the animals, split them in halves, and we've gone through this, and there were two birds, a turtle dove and a pigeon. Those he did not split were given whole. Vultures came and tried to rest on that which he was given to God. He's busy fighting until he's wiped out and he couldn't anymore. He goes into a deep sleep, and God reveals to him that he was going to experience something. And that experience was going to be in his children. His children are going to be taken out to this distant land. And when they come out of that place, they were going to come out real strong. And it was going to take 400 years. Now in that 400 years, we came to the story of Joseph. Because Joseph, the Bible tells us, had to go into this distant land ahead, because God always sends a forerunner. When Jesus was going to come, he sent a forerunner. There's always somebody that God sends ahead of you to make the way when he's called you for a purpose. It's always somebody. If you're the first one there, then you're a forerunner for somebody. Let me say that again. God always sends somebody ahead of you to make the way right. But if you're the first one there, you are the one making the way for somebody else. Do you understand that? But there's always going to be somebody. So he's ahead, and you know the story. We've come all through this. Joseph has been thrown into a pit, from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to the prison, and now from the prison he's come to the palace. He is now the number two, but really the number one man. Pharaoh has now become a figurehead. He has surrendered all of his power and placed it on Joseph. He gives Joseph an Egyptian name, which simply meant that he was a treasury of rest. He's given a wife, Asenath. Now, tradition, we don't know who this woman is, but Jewish tradition tells us that this woman, Asenath, was actually the daughter of Dinah. Dinah is one of the daughters of Jacob that was raped and brought shame. And through, because of her, a whole slew, a tribe was wiped out. Remember this? Tradition says this is Asenath. Asenath is sent away because he was a source of shame. And that's what this woman was. The same tradition, Jewish tradition. Now the reason, let me back up a little bit. When I talk about Jewish tradition, this is their way of explaining something. Now, I'm not presenting this to you as truth. I'm just presenting it. This is the traditional sense. And the reason they go this route, the rabbis went this route, was because they believed that Joseph will not marry an Egyptian. No way. He knows better. Jews are not supposed to marry ungodly people. How is he going to marry this woman? And so they came up with this idea that this was this woman. Are you with me so far? Well, the fact is, in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were Gentiles. There was Rahab. She was a prostitute. There's Ruth. So we don't need to do any of that stuff. So I really don't buy into that Asenath stuff. All I do know is when God wants to do what God wants to do, he does what God wants to do. Hallelujah. And so his marriage to Asenath, who is the daughter of Potiphar, and this is where traditional Jewish teaching becomes quite interesting, because they flip Potiphar around, and the Potiphar, you know, became a priest of On, and they changed his name to Potiphera. Okay. Thank you very much. That's why I like to stick with my Bible, because I don't need to do any gymnastics with the information. It's just what it is. He is married to Potiphera, or rather to Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera. That's what it says. Priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And that's where we stopped yesterday. He went on the move, and he began to survey the entire land. What is he trying to do? Remember what we talked about yesterday. When God makes you a solution bearer, solutions also create problems. Don't forget that. That's a life principle. When you think, okay, I got this answer, this solution, that solution is going to create another problem. It's like this. When you buy a truck, you like your truck, but so does everybody else, because everybody else will ask you for your truck. Can you move my couch? Can you move this? And can you move this for me? And your truck belongs to everybody. It creates a different problem. So once you have a truck, know that it does not belong to you anymore. It belongs to the community. Hallelujah. So here he is, and he's going around the land. He's surveying the land, because he must not only know where the land that is good for agriculture is, he has to also figure out where to put this harvest. He believes the interpretation. He is not the one who had the dream, but is trying to make another person's dream work out. Let me say that again. He is not the one who had the dream, but is trying to make another person's dream work out. This has been his pattern. And this is a fundamental key for good success in life. Trying to make somebody else make it causes you to make it. Trying to lift up somebody else makes room for you. If you refuse to be a person who invests yourself and your time to serving others, you will never come to the place of true fulfillment in life. I pity people who come to church and just sit down and don't do anything to help anybody. That's a very good sign that you are not going anywhere. That's a very good sign that you are not going to make it spiritually, emotionally, physically, because you are nowhere to be found. You're not serving anybody. You're not helping anybody. You're not accomplishing anything. People who want to go somewhere with God always are there to serve the vision, help make things happen. Praise the Lord. So there he was. Zaphnath-Paneah is his name, the name given to him. And he begins to execute the plan. Verse 47 says to us, "And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid up in the same." So, he's bringing the food to the cities, as much as he could get. But those that are close to the city but not in the city, he created storage for. Now, do you understand when we are the time period we're talking about here? This food is going to last for 7 years. Even today, that would be a challenge to get wheat to last for 7 years. So this is going to take more than natural mindset. This is going to take a man who is involved and connected to the heartbeat of God, who is interceding and seeking the face of God and saying, "God, protect the harvest." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a whole lot of stuff going on here. Why is this important? Because God, please hear this, God hates waste. Say that again. God hates waste. If you don't get it, remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and the 5,000 people, men, not counting women and the children, and there were fragments left, and Jesus asked them to collect all the fragments. Did he not? And they got 12 baskets out of it. You know, we would have just celebrated the fact that we're all fed. Hallelujah. My tummy is full. Oh, that was good. What a miracle. Let's go. No, Jesus says, stop. Collect the fragments. Don't leave anything behind and think it's no good. It's all good. So he collected everything that he could collect, and he stores them, 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. I like that. Because this is connected to the promise, to the covenant. Stars, sand of the sea. And he's collecting the corn as the sand of the sea. In other words, he's collecting the blessing, and he's connecting with the blessing. He's connecting with the covenant. I don't know whether his father told him about the covenant. It's a good chance he never knew about it. But by the leading of the Spirit of God, he's operating in his discipline, and he's operating in his calling, and he's operating in his mandate. You've heard me tell this story before. My youngest, my daughter Ashley, was maybe about 2 years or two, 3 years old, I think. Something like that. Maybe, you no. 2 years less. And we noticed that she will go to the flower pot and start grabbing the soil and eating it. Stop it. Don't do that. You shouldn't be eating sand. That's not food. But she kept on doing it and kept on doing it and kept on doing it. And we went for one of our checkups, and we told the doctor, we don't know what's going on. This child keeps on going to the flower pot and grabbing soil and eating it. Oh, she said, he said, oh, she lacks iron. And gave us a prescription. So we got the prescription for iron droplets and put it in her mouth. And that was the end of it. She never went to the flower pots. We didn't have to say anything to her. So, Pastor, why are you telling us that story? God knows what you need, and he knows where you can get what you need, even though you don't know why you need what you need. There are certain things in your life that you're going to need, but you don't know why you need it. Sometimes it is for you. Sometimes the reason you are desiring and wanting it is for somebody else. Pregnant women start craving all kinds of stuff. Things that they don't normally eat, they crave for it, and then they eat it, and then they're satisfied. What is the reason? The reason is because that's what the body needs. There's something in whatever it is they are craving that their body needs. You are built spiritually to connect with the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So be very aware of what's happening inside. He is all over the place. He is gathering this. And the Word of God says, as the sand of the sea, very much until he left what? Numbering. He left numbering. I thank God that the God of the overflow is going to bring you and I to the place where we experience his blessings beyond measure. And you do not know how much you have. Because you are done counting. You know, there are some people, the bank doesn't even know what they have. How do you determine what a man has when while he's sleeping, he's making millions? After a while, you don't know how much the guy has anymore. Because his houses are building up equity and all kinds of things are happening with the buildings and all kinds of things are happening with the business and all kinds of things are happening with that and that and that. Even some of the things he has are appreciating in price because they are antiques. How do you measure that person's wealth? That's a good place to be, where it doesn't matter how much they steal from you, you still have more than enough. is that all you're still in that? I can see you still in it. Forget that. I believe that's why Jesus had a treasurer that was a thief, because he had more than enough. For it was without number. Too much. Jesus, you love me too much, oh. Too much, oh. Too much, oh. Excess love, oh. The blessings of God can come upon our lives. As I said to us yesterday prophetically, there are stages, and God is going to move different ones to different class levels. You're looking at yourself and saying, I don't know. What are you talking about? We're in the north end. Really? Is that all? God is God. He's a too much God. He can bless you and I in exceeding ways. I will be your exceeding great reward. Please hear what I'm saying to you today. And as you're hearing it, please don't remove yourself from the equation and think, well, it's for that person, maybe that person, maybe that person, not for me. No, God is talking about you. The other day, must have been around 1 a.m., I was looking at something. The Lord has shown me some stuff. But incredible stuff. She's like, why am I looking at this? That's what I see for you. What God was seeing for me was way beyond anything I could imagine. I didn't even think people could live like that. And I believe by that statement was preparing me for something. He was saying, when I bless you, don't let anybody tell you anything. Don't let anybody open their mouth to say anything. Because I did it. Hallelujah. When God blesses you, shall you make boast of his goodness? Joseph, collecting until he stopped. Now, think of this. Do you think that Joseph was the one personally counting all of those things? He had offices. So, it not only overwhelmed him, it overwhelmed the people that were working for him. They could not keep track anymore. Too much. May the God of heaven bless us with his too much. Hallelujah. Some say, I receive the too much of God. Why is he getting all of this? It's not for him. is to become an answer, a solution to other people's issues. Blessed to be a blessing. Yes, I am blessed and highly favored. Blessed to be a blessing. I think we need to start adding that to our talk. I'm not only blessed and highly favored, I am blessed to be a blessing. How can I help you today? How can I pray for you today? What can I do for you today? Oh, my uncle is sick. Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your uncle healed. Amen. Done. That's me. Not only blessed, that's me becoming a blessing. My grandma fell. What happened? She was just walking and she fell and she broke her legs. And the doctor says she there's nothing we can do. She can't heal because she has osteoporosis. And oh, no. Well, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I declare in the name of Jesus, osteoporosis, you lose your hold. I declare right now that those bones will be put together. In the name of Jesus, I declare those bones strong now. Be healed, be restored, be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think that will work for somebody in the bank? At the grocery store? At the hair salon? Because you are saying that you are blessed and highly favored, blessed to be a blessing. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I be a blessing to you? And it opens them up to start sharing what their need is. And right there, you become a bearer of solutions. But when you start doing that, and everybody starts calling your phone, you created a different problem. Everybody wants, oh, who is that guy? And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody wanted him, and so he had to build up a team and send them to go. Everybody empowered to succeed. Everybody empowered to bring breakthroughs into the lives of men and women that are struggling. We are living in a world that is filled with hurts. There's a famine in the land. They've gone through all that they could go through. And now these are years that are chowing down like Pac-Man, all that they have invested themselves on. They've put up their money. They've put up their resources. They've invested in stock markets, bought all kinds of stuff. And here comes the crash because the president makes a statement. It's all gone overnight. What do? When everything you've invested your life for, you've planned and planned and planned, and one statement wipes all of your wealth away. What are you going to do now? That's the world we live in. Shaken. But we serve a God who can take your little and make it much. We serve a God who says, what's in your house? I just have a pot of oil. Well, get many more pots. Lock yourself in and begin to pour. And from that one pot, many pots get filled. And a woman whose children were about to be sold into slavery now is in the oil business. That's power. Hallelujah. God wants to engage us. The thing is, will we engage with God? But wait a minute. Pharaoh has a dream about 7 good years and 7 bad years. Why doesn't he just keep on having good years? Well, because God had a covenant deal. Those 7 bad years had to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, those brothers will still be in Canaan. Problems happen just to move you into your destiny. Problems are good. Because within the bad, God brings out good. You know, last Sunday, I believe one of the prayers that led us to pray was, God, I thank you for the troubles. You know, I'm sure some people didn't want to pray that prayer. What do you mean? Pray, God, I thank you for the trouble. Oh, Paul knew the secret of that. Paul says, I thank God for all the problems I've got. I thank God for them. James says, I thank God for patience. You know, I've met some very interesting believers through the years. I've had people that think they're very spiritual, making comments like this. Never ask God for patience, because when you ask God for patience, you're going to have troubles. Don't ever ask God for patience. But the Word of God says, when you have patience, take me to James chapter 1 just briefly. James chapter 1. Let me read you this. We're still on the same subject. Don't think I'm on a rabbit trail somewhere. No, we're still talking the same thing. James chapter 1 and verse, let's take it up from verse 3. James 1 and 3. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith, the challenges to your faith, works patience. And verse 4 says this, but allow patience to have her perfect work. Let patience do its work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience, when you have patience, will bring you to a place where you have no sense of lack. It says, but let patience do its thing. Joseph had that kind of patience. He allowed patience to operate by not breaking covenant with God. When Potiphar's wife wanted him, he says, I cannot do that. This is going to break connection with God. By the way, you belong to your husband. So I can't do that. Back to Genesis. Bible says Joseph had 2 sons with Asenath. This happened before the years of famine. I think that's interesting. He had his 2 sons before the years of famine. Why is that important to us? Because in the years of famine, he was going to be extra busy. He was busy in the years of harvest. But now that he had to dispense stuff to people, he was going to be even busier. There are times in our lives, and I want to pray this prayer. I want you to join me with this in this prayer. Lord, help me to fulfill my assignment in the window of time that is necessary so that I do not drag the things of yesterday, things that I should have done yesterday, into today. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good prayer. Because you can crowd your present day with things that you should have done yesterday. Not just because you procrastinated, but because sometimes we can become lazy and not redeeming the times. And one of the key things that God says to us about the last days is that we should be redeemers of time. We need to redeem time. Another day, I'm going to spend my time talking about how we redeem time. But you need to be able to redeem time. And there's a way that we do so. Because God wants to be able to bring you to the place where what you should have done in 24 hours, you can do it in 1 hour. And now you have 23 hours extra. And those are piled up. This is part of how we get our youth renewed in God. Amen? Not allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed. So he had these two sons in the years of famine, before the years of famine came, which Asna, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore unto him. Next verse. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, had made me forget all my toil. It's made me forget all of my struggles. May God, in the name of Jesus Christ, cause you to forget all of your difficult days because of the blessings that he bestowed upon your life and on your family. Hallelujah. May God cause you to forget all of your struggles, all of your disappointments, all of the pain, all of the wicked words. May God cause you to forget, because he turns things around in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I declare in the name of Jesus that God calls you to be fruitful where you shouldn't have been fruitful. May the God of heaven lift you and establish you, elevate and promote you, help you to be all that he desires for you to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the land of my affliction, God has caused me to be fruitful. He's blessed me. Now, these were not statements of faith. These were not statements of faith. These were statements of fact. You know, there's something that you believe in God for by faith, but there's that which you are living. You don't need to have faith or hope for it. You live in it. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you live the experience of God's blessings upon your life, that you do not wish for it. You are in it. And others may be wishing that they were you. Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh, please. Please, 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 please. Connect with those statements I'm making right there. So that's where he found himself. Blessed. Blessed of the Lord. Let's go further. The 7 years of plenteousness. That was in the land of Egypt. Were ended. It ended. The good times ended. And when the good times ended, the better days started. Say what? What do you mean the better days started? Now, Joseph is really going to get wealthy. Now, Pharaoh is really going to get wealthy. Their wealthiest days started when the good days ended. Child of God, hear me. When the world is crying and saying, bad days are here, you should be celebrating and say, the great days are here. Because now, God is going to start moving everything. The movement of Israel and the fulfillment, the beginnings of the covenant statement is about to start. And the Bible says, and the 7 years of dirt began to come. It didn't all come once. It began to come. We are in the began to come right now. But in this began to come, those of us that have connected with God by covenant, men and women that have covenanted with him are going to experience God in another way, in a way that they had not experienced God before. God is about to reveal himself in a glorious way. We are going into the phase two. Phase one, the manifestation of the glory of God. Is people dropping dead, as it was shown with Moses. When the glory of God came and stood, the people were dying all over the place. And Moses said to Aaron, take the censer and run. You know, when the world didn't know, didn't recognize that they had essential workers in the house and shut up the people of God, they created a bigger problem for themselves. And I made a statement by the Spirit of God. I stood in this place and I almost cried for a city. Remember? I said New York. Remember that? Okay. A city and a leadership that will push God out are about to experience their greatest pain. The cities that will recognize the place of the priesthood of God's people will experience supernatural change and a halt to COVID. There are cities that are going to experience a shutdown because they recognize the role of the priesthood of God, God's people, running into the midst of the people and putting a stop to the powers of darkness that want to destroy nations and cities and communities. Said what I got to say. Let's go on. It says, and the dirt was in all lands, just like COVID. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Why? Joseph. Why? Joseph was not the one who had the dream. Please don't forget. Pharaoh had the dream. Pharaoh saw the problem, but did not understand what he was seeing. Joseph, who did not have the dream, had the ability to interpret what the man saw and provided the solution for it. It was the man who provided the solution, not the one who had the dream, that made it possible. Come with me, come with me. It is the administrators of visions, ultimately, that cause things to move. The growth of this work, of this ministry, is not dependent on me as a visionary. It's dependent on those who take the vision and administer it. Moses did not know how to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, but he had the vision. And those who, Bezalel, who stirred himself up in the spirit, caught up to the vision that Moses had, and the team built the replica of what they did not see. But because they loved the priest or the visionary, the visioner, they replicated in the earth what was in heaven. And when they replicated what was in heaven in the earth, the glory of heaven came to the earth. No, the growth of Glory and Peace Church is not just from me preaching. It is from you administering the vision, taking the vision, and bringing to pass what God is saying. Nothing happens without administration. Pharaoh had the dream, two dreams. But they would all have died without an administrator. Do you understand? Well, I know our pastor is very anointed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor, just keep on preaching the way you are preaching, and it's going to happen. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. It happens when the people who are hearing the word run with the word. Make things happen. Because shepherds have never given birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. A shepherd may come and help the sheep pull the sheep out. But the sheep that is not pregnant cannot give birth to no lambs. And every time we hear the word of God, we need to desire to be pregnant with what God is saying. You take the word of God, the prophetic word of God, and you fight with it. Do great warfare with a prophetic word. Pastor says, classes, different classes. Says, prophetically, there's abundance in the flow. What do? I go home. I say, I heard the instruction. I heard the word. And I'm here, ready. Pour it on me. Give me guidance. Show me what I need to do. Help me. And all of a sudden, God will begin to move you. And God will begin to give you ideas and bring you resources and help people to come alongside of you who will help you bring about the manifestation of dreams, hopes, aspirations, desires. Things begin to move. Why? Because you want the vision administered and the purpose of God fulfilled. Do you understand? God, I know this is what you want to do. I hear it. Okay. How can I participate in bringing it to pass? Because understand something. If you don't get this, get this. When you go to work, you go to work for the Lord. That's why you have the job that you got. It's for the Lord. Because it is not your job that meets your needs. It is God that meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory. And that which you are getting from your job is just your seed. That's your seed. That's your seed. If you think that that job is what is providing for you, don't let God take it away from you so that you learn how to trust him. Is that too much for you? I hope you hear it. Next verse, let me begin to wrap it up. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, hungry, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he said to you, do. 46. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. So they're getting fed, but still getting hungry. And guess what? They spent all their money. He said, and all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Next verse. And when Jacob saw, say it with me, and when Jacob saw, one more time, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? Why are you staring at each other? There's food over there. And you guys are sitting here talking, you know, watching whatever it is, Young and the Restless. MacGyver. What are you doing? There's food over there. Go to Egypt. And God is moving the ball. God wanted them out of Canaan. And the question I need to ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, is this. If they are going to be in Canaan, why do they have to go over there? God, you can bless them here. You can bless them right here. And God said, no, you can't take it yet. It's yours, but you can't take it yet because I am going to be a just God. The fullness of the sin of the Amorites is not yet. And I don't want you to be in the environment of these Amorites talking. I want you out of here. Go out. And when it's time, I'm going to bring you back here. But before Abraham left, the wife Sarah died. And he needed a place to bury her. And the people came, were mourning with him, and he said, we'll do anything you want. Want to help you. And he says, yeah, what I really need is land. I need property where I can bury my wife. And he said, take anyone you want. Anything you want, you can take it. No. Wait a minute. God told him that was his land. Did he not? And now it would be easy to just take anything. But no, he says, I want a particular piece of property, Machpelah, and which is Hebron. And he goes and the guy says, you can have it. Well, this is amazing. I like this. You can have it. And said, sure, I know I can have it, but I have to pay for it. No, you don't need to. Come on. We're brothers. We're friends. We're family. It's yours. Take it. No, I want to pay for it. You know that this is worth 400 shekels, silver coins. It was an inflated price. Abraham dug deep, paid the guy, and he, by investing in that land, took a hold of that land. He already had ownership. He had put seed on the ground. You don't have a right to a promise that you've not invested into. I see a lot of people wanting, I claim this, I want this, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, but they've not invested in it, and then they wonder, why am I not getting the result? Because you've not invested in faith. What you believe in, you invest in. I know those in this ministry that believe in this ministry that God's hand is in here. You know what I know? At the end of every year, I see it in their giving. You know, some people who come and give all year long, all they gave was $15. All year long. They're in church every Sunday. And they give $15. Or they give $100. And you know, as you stand and looking at them, the shoe that they're wearing is worth more than what they gave in the offering. And they're going to go to McDonald's and they gave 50 cents in church and go to McDonald's and buy food for $15. That tells you where your your interest is. That makes sense? Is that too hard? I don't care if that's too hard. I was just being nice. Abraham invested what he believed in. Now, I didn't say that to say what I'm going to say to you now. Because what I'm going to say to you now, I was instructed concerning this around 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning. And this is not just for those who are here. This is for those people who are listening online. And it doesn't matter when you heard this, you're hearing it at the time that you need to hear it. I guess it was 2 weeks ago that I came to you and I said to us at that time that the Lord was asking for a special offering. Do you remember that? 5781. I said at that time, two people. The Lord was asking for two people. I want you to know that those two people did come. Praise the Lord. So that was done. Completed. But I heard the Lord say to me early this morning, I think I went to bed around 2 o'clock and was up around that 4:30, 5 o'clock. That's sometimes my day. You say, well, what are you doing up that late? Don't ask. The Lord said, there's somebody who said that if I say again to give that offering for 5781, that they are going to do it. So for you, the Lord says to tell you that I'm saying it again. Because you're supposed to be part of it. See, one thing I've learned through this 40-something years of ministry, God says, I want this amount of people, and that is his minimum level. That is way at the bottom. So he can be saying two people, but he really means 10 people, but because God moves by faith, just like he expects you to move by faith. He moves by faith believing that you will do in obedience what he is asking you to do, but knows also that you have the will and the right to choose not to do it. So you make a decision what you're going to do. Now, I didn't have to tell you that those two came, but it's done. But there's you. You are supposed to do it. You already asked. If he repeats it again, then I will do it. I've repeated it. God is saying, do what you said you're going to do. Now, the other thing the Lord said to me to ask us to do, he wants everybody to be involved in this particular gift. Now, I know you didn't know about it, but when he told me, I got mine ready. Because I'm not going to not be involved in what God is asking for his people to do. Amen? Hallelujah. 578.10. Or not. Let me back up. Back up. That's not exactly what he said. 578. It's supposed to be 11 cents, but what he said was 15 cents. So, I did. Got it in place. And he said, just like those animals that were caught, and the birds, the two birds that were not caught, that he will accept from whoever it is that wants to do it $57.85. If you are so way down there and you cannot do it, he's calling everyone. Everyone. And I said to the Lord, who are the people you are asking to do this? He said, everyone that is in the service tonight. Present it to them. They are there for a reason. I want you to tell them, let them choose where they fall in the mix. Now for the 5,781, that's whether it's here or there. Actually, oh, if I forget, 3 days ago, I think it was, the Lord showed me, I didn't know about this at that time, but the Lord showed me that there was somebody, you are in Alberta actually. I was making a request in a dream. I was talking to the saints about something similar to this, and this person had sent a check for $10,500. And when I received it, I said, all the Lord was asking is $5,781. Why did you send $10,500? You may be listening to me right now. Just do it. You're in Alberta. And you did it, and there were business opportunities that you were involved in. You are not doing it right now, but in the realm of the Spirit, I saw you doing it. And it is from that, and actually, for you, I remember laying hands on you, and the power of God came upon you mightily, and God was calling you into ministry. And you didn't like that too much. And I said to myself, oh my, just like Elijah said to Elijah, what have I done? Because remember Elijah threw his mantle on Elijah, and Elijah was not expecting it, but it was a preamble to what was going to be done with a double portion later. You know, when God calls you and you're not really excited about it, it's because he has a greater purpose for your life. So, you're in Alberta. I saw you already. I know who you are. I know who you are. It's $10,500. God has an assignment for you. And you're going to do what God says you're going to do. And God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And you're going to be better for it. This investment is going to impact you, but it's going to impact your children. This is for your children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, that's it. If you are not able to produce that offering of $57.81, or 85 cents rather, or $578.15, right this very moment, do it later. Thanksgiving is coming, but I don't want you to wait till Thanksgiving. I want you to do it by Friday. So why are you saying Friday? Because Friday is a very unique day in the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is supposed to last actually for 7 days. But God called for an eighth day. An eighth day because it's the day of continuous rest. Is a preamble to the millennium reign. So, on Friday, if you don't have it yet, by Friday, bring it and release it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is only for those who have ears. If you don't feel like you're going to do it, don't do it, please. You're not doing it for me. You are going to be only following the instructions of the Lord and doing what God wants you to do. Walk with Him, invest in His purpose, and watch Him do what He's going to do. And that's all I have to say about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the glorious things that you're doing in our lives, for the work of transformation that's taking place in us and with us. Lord, oh God, I ask even now that everyone, depending on where they are placed and what they need to do, Lord, oh God, that there will be a quickening in their spirits right now to obey the instruction, to fulfill the mandate, and Lord, oh God, do for them that which you have in your heart to do for them. I know not what you're going to do, but I know you are going to do what you want done. So, Lord, I thank you this day for the Spirit of truth that is released even now upon your sons and your daughters. In Jesus, my sovereign Lord's name, I call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.